It's May 11th, 2023, 1555 hours Eastern Daylight Time. It's good to be with you again. It's Ward Green. And this is a song from 1978 by Ambrosia with David Pack on lead vocals called How Much I Feel.
Thinking that I had been untrue, but
Ambrosia from 1978, a song I remember like it was yesterday. Of course, in 1978, that was the year, in December of that year, when Nicolette Larson released her album, which included that song of hers that we heard recently. And now the name of it is slipping my mind. What was it? What's it called? Oh, I can't forget that song, can I? What's the name of the song? Come on. So many songs I've been listening to recently. What's she famous for? A Lot of Love. That song, A Lot of Love, of course, the Neil Young song. She didn't release it until December of that year, so I must have heard that song, A Lot of Love, not when I was living in the house on Division Street in Kingston, 96 Division, but when I was living at 61 Stanley on Division in my final year, or final scheduled year of engineering physics at Queen's University in Kingston. So I was there. I was there in an apartment, the basement apartment, one of the basement apartments. There may have only been two, actually, basement apartments in 61 Stanley. I think there were possibly more. But that was 1978 to 79 when I stayed there, from fall of 78 to the spring of 79. So our study, but this song by Ambrosia was from 1978, released in August of that year. It was lonely times in that apartment on Stanley Street. In our article, Wild Road, Part 2, today we have Chapter 8, Paragraph 11. It's a phenomenal paragraph. So let's endeavor to read this and understand it. It's very full of information. When Enmer Kar began to rule in 2751 BCE, we may assume that Egypt's rule also began, in part from an expected 22-year lag, according to Jackson, plus the Sothic date, 2774 BCE, at Eridu, found to be summer solstice. I just want to check something. Good. Found to be summer solstice, as it is also Thoth 1, and an eclipse at the Ark site, and when it is examined, it is also new moon, Julian, July 18th, 2774, or 23 years by Egypt's calendar, makes 22 plus solar years. This is not an exact calculation of 22 years, in fact. More significantly, the rising of Sothis cannot, by our own manipulation, be made to fall upon any year we want, simply by choosing a value of Arcus Visionis to suit. However, at the ancient city of this, quote-unquote, this, an actual name for a city in Egypt, or Thinis, it's also called Thinis, at latitude 26 degrees 20 minutes north. It's also called Tegenu. It is found with PLSV 3.1 and Arcus Visionis 7.6 degrees that Sothis rises Thoth 1, 2751 BCE, July 12th, at this, the city of this, at Nekin, 25 degrees 6 minutes north latitude, where the Narmer Palette was found, an Arcus Visionis of 7.3 degrees means Sothis rises Thoth 1, 2745 BCE, July 10th, 27:45. With an Arcus Visionis of 7.6 degrees, it is 27:49 BCE, the exact birth year of Peleg in the Blessed Genealogy, and in harmony with how, quote, in his days the earth was divided, unquote. That quote being, go down to the footnotes, from Genesis 10 and 25. Although the situation is more complicated than we can yet comprehend at such a distant time thereafter, some insight has already been gained in confirmation of the history of the dispersion in the days of Peleg. The second dynasty of Manetho appears to be redundant, and the beginning of the Old Kingdom of Egypt from the third dynasty onward can be tentatively dated from the vicinity of 2681 BCE, a common modern date for Djoser, and one freshly confirmed by radiocarbon measurements. See the footnotes. The date of 2738 BCE is thus 57 years before this date, corresponding to the 57 years of Athothis in Manetho's Dynasty I, the second king, and gives the 35 years of Osiris and Isis, Excerpta Latina Barbari from Shona, page 215, adequate time, seeing as 2774 to 2738 is 36 years. Just realized something. I've got too many clothes on here. I might have to turn. I'm going to have to turn off my heat. There are so many things to prepare. Okay, and it's difficult to get everything correct when doing it. Okay, I don't need this. Warm blanket either now. Okay. Now I'm going to undo my jacket while I'm at it here. Let's do that. I'm going to have to take this microphone off temporarily, get my hat oriented here. Let's see. Here we go. Yeah, that's better. It's a lot of work, okay. Much better. All right, so the sole purpose of this, putting the earphones, is not so I can hear, but so that the microphone is actually hanging in the right location for the recording to be accomplished. So, all right. So here we go. Adequate time, seeing as 2774 to 2738 is 36 years. The time of 35 years of Osiris and Isis being compared with that. This 35 years is also given as Mestrium in BOS, Book of Sothis. The 22-year time lag of Mr. Jackson's is seen counting from 2738 to 2716 BCE, with 2716 being a point in time once again 35 years prior to 2681. And there are, from the Old Chronicle of Egypt in Sincelis, prior to Alexander the Great, a total in years back to this first king of Egypt, 15 years plus 2365, or 2380 years. When we interpret this as Alexander's accession to the throne of Greece in 336 BCE, we get 336 plus 2380 equals 2716. This is 64 years after the death of Shem in 2780. Thus, it agrees with the reign of Menes at 62 or 63 years. Also, the reign of Nimrod, 69 years from the Kitab al-Magal, is very nearly 2751 minus 2681 equals 70 years. And there are 35 years from 2751 to 2716 in addition. The complete solution of all of the problems contained in the early chronology of Shinar in Egypt would take more than the time granted a human in the current era. So a few more observations would appear to be minimal. From 2780 to 2751 and from 2745 to 2716 make 29 years. In both cases, the reign allotted to Typhon, the successor to Osiris. The 35 years of Osiris as the first king of Egypt, who was known as Nimrod, son of Belus, may then run from the death of Shem in 2780, 35 years, to 2745, since the date given for the death of Osiris, Hathor 17, or September 24th, is also exactly lunar day 1 in 2745 BCE. I just checked it. It's actually lunar day 2, but very, very soon after lunar day 1, which is very late on the previous day. So it's written that way for a reason. The dispersion occurs while the tower is being constructed, i.e., quote, and they gradually left off, end quote. So, it being dated in the BOS, Book of Sothis, as year 5 of Peleg, agrees with 2745 in BG extremely well, and nearly with year 34 of Arpakshad, who as the son of Shem is taken, in our understanding, to have ruled from 2780 when Shem dies. Thus, in the BG is year 35-36 of Arpakshad, that Osiris is said by Plutarch to have died in year 28, implies the palindromic 2772 BCE as his year 1. Subtracting 27 years from that is 2745. And the summer solstice and Sothic rising, July 17th at Eridu, just under 2 years after our earlier 2774 discovery. So we may wish to amend our earlier estimate from 2774 to 2772 BCE and from July 18th to July 17th, associated to a Sinic cycle or Great Phoenix of the Egyptian calendar. But from all that we've just calculated, of course, we don't have to necessarily make that amendment to the date. But this chart here shows, this is a graphing of the dates in the Julian calendar on the left compared to the years in the Julian years before the Common Era, and the time when Shem dies is shown, as is the date of Nimrod, Shem dying in 2780 BCE and Nimrod beginning to rule in 2751 BCE. They showed it, that both of those dates and quite a few others are shown as vertical lines demarcating the times of these eras, and there is a descending horizontal line, slowly descending from the left to the right, which shows the rising of Sothis and the dates in the Julian calendar from roughly the 18th or 19th, or perhaps even the 20th, all the way down. That's as we go from 3000 BCE down in the years toward 2700, at which time it becomes July 18th in 2774, for example, the rising date becomes earlier as time goes on, with the rising of Sothis. And by the time of 2600, of course, it's more like July 16th or something like that. But also shown here are the dates for Neken, and the time when Sothis rises on Thoth 1 again is, in that case, 2745. And there are a few other dates, quite a few other dates and other pieces of information shown here on this graph. So, continuing on, this is a long paragraph. Be warned, but there's a lot of very corresponding information that corresponds very well to everything that we know. Figure 8.1 above shows the origin of this date, 2772, at the intersection of Thoth 1 with the summer solstice. The 56 years, 2772 to 2716, approach 57 years for Athothis and represent 27 for Osiris or Menes plus 29 of Typhon. The date of 2738 BCE is the end of the 42 years of the tower's construction, thus dated to start 2780. Corresponding well, Yan Di, the flame emperor of China, began his reign in 2737, who is identified with Shelah, the son of the biblical Cainan, whose reign as Fu Shi is 2852 to 2737 BCE. The Chinese dating is independent of Egypt's, and so is quite remarkable, as Shelah is contemporary to Nimrod. So this is right around the same time when the Earth was divided. It's coinciding to Nimrod, and Shelah is the one who corresponds to the Chinese emperor at that time, which is a very important date because it's at the time of the dividing of the Earth, of course. The Chinese dating is independent of Egypt's, which is all the more miraculous, really. The kings of Thebes given in Syncellus's, quote, 1076 years, end quote, from Apollodorus, subtracted from 2716 BCE, arrives at 1640 BCE, the start of Hyksos Dynasty 15 in the Delta of Egypt. That's unbelievably accurate. I mean, incredible. I mean, fantastically prodigious. Adding 1124 years, the other number mentioned therein. Remember, there was a 48-year discrepancy. So we add 48 to 1076, and what do we get? 1124, don't we? The other number mentioned therein is 1124, i.e., in Syncellus Apollodorus. When we add that, adding 1124 years to 1640 gives us instead 2764. Now, here's a number we haven't seen before. And were the reign of Osiris, and were the reign of Osiris begun then, were the reign of Osiris begun then, in 2764, his 27 years end in 2737. Again, very close to that date, 2738, 43 years after, in this case, Shem dies in 2780 BCE. These are all the dates of our own BG. And 14 years after 2751, with 14 years being also an adjusted Sumerian reign of Enmerkar at Uruk, when we adjust it for the fact that their years didn't seem to be correct, because they were, one of their kings ruled 1200 years, for example. So we adjusted that based on the number 29.530588, which is the lunar cycle. Since these dates are wholly consistent, wholly consistent with Bronze Age dating beginning about 3200 BCE, following the 3282 BCE deluge. The BG and the BGEG go hand in hand as authoritative iron furnace history. Are 537 years from deluge to dispersion, 2745. That's the dispersion. 544 years to the tower's demise in 2738, and 566 years to Egyptian autonomy, 2716 BCE, are compared to 534 years in the Old Chronicle. Not too different from any of those numbers. From quote flood unquote to the quote building of the tower end quote, and that was the 534 years, and to 553 years from the quote flood unquote to quote Egypt with Thoth end quote. 553 years, Mr. Jackson, page 237. However, being free to believe whatever chronology one wants is more important than the chronology itself. That was a long paragraph. That's the end of our study in Wild Road for today, little children. Our proverb from today is Proverbs 13 and 18. The one neglecting discipline comes to poverty and dishonor, but the one keeping a reproof is the one that is glorified. And we're going to pass over, we're going to skip Exodus because it numerically doesn't align, and it gives us an opportunity to fit our study in today better, because we have to wait a couple of days before we can get back to it to line up the numbers again. Luke, just a well-needed rest also from reading the Law of Moses, which is very intensive. So we have Luke today, chapter 11. Now, on the occasion of Jesus being in a certain place praying, when he stopped, a certain one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us how to pray, just as John also taught his disciples. Then he said to them, whenever you pray, say, Father, let your name be sanctified, let your kingdom come. Give us our bread for the day according to the day's requirement. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone that is in debt to us. And do not bring us into temptation. Further, he said to them, who of you will have a friend and will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, loan me 3 loaves, because a friend of mine has just come to me on a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And that one from inside says in reply, quit making me trouble. The door is already locked. And my young children are with me in bed. I cannot rise up and give you anything. I tell you, although he will not rise up and give him anything because of being his friend, certainly because of his bold persistence, he will get up and give him what things he needs. Accordingly, I say to you, keep on asking, and it will be given you. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and it will be opened to you. For everyone asking receives, and everyone seeking finds, and to everyone knocking it will be opened. Indeed, which father is there among you who, if his son asks for a fish, will perhaps hand him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he also asks for an egg, will hand him a scorpion? Therefore, if you, although being wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more so will the Father in heaven give Holy Spirit to those asking him? Later, he was expelling a dumb demon. After the demon came out, the dumb man spoke, and the crowds marveled. But certain ones of them said, he expels the demons by means of Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. However, others to tempt him began seeking a sign out of heaven from him. Knowing their imaginations, he said to them, every kingdom divided against itself comes to desolation, and a house divided against itself falls. So if Satan is also divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, I expel the demons by means of Beelzebub. If it is by means of Beelzebub I expel the demons, by whom do your sons expel them? Because of this they will be judges of you. But if it is by means of God's finger I expel the demons, the kingdom of God has really overtaken you. When a strong man, well-armed, guards his palace, his belongings continue in peace. But when someone stronger than he is comes against him and conquers him, he takes away his full armament in which he was trusting, and he divides out the things he despoiled him of. He that is not on my side is against me, and he that does not gather with me scatters. When an unclean spirit comes out of a man, it passes through parched places in search of a resting place, and after finding none, it says, I will return to my house out of which I moved. And on arriving, it finds it swept clean and adorned. Then it goes its way and takes along seven different spirits, more wicked than itself. And after getting inside, they dwell there, and the final circumstances of that man become worse than the first. Now, as he was saying these things, a certain woman out of the crowd raised her voice and said to him, Happy is the womb that carried you and the breasts that you sucked. But he said, No. Rather, happy are those hearing the word of God and keeping it. When the crowds were massing together, he started to say, This generation is a wicked generation. It looks for a sign, but no sign will be given it except the sign of Jonah. For just as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, in the same way will the Son of Man be also to this generation. The Queen of the South will be raised up in the judgment with the men of this generation and will condemn them, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. But look, something more than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will rise in the judgment with this generation and will condemn it, because they repented at what Jonah preached. But look, something more than Jonah is here. After lighting a lamp, a person puts it not in a vault nor under a measuring basket, but upon the lampstand, that those stepping in may behold the light. The lamp of the body is your eye. When your eye is simple, your whole body is also bright. But when it is wicked, your body is also dark. Be alert, therefore, perhaps the light that is in you is darkness. Therefore, if your whole body is bright, with no part at all dark, it will all be as bright as when a lamp gives you light by its rays. When he had spoken this, a Pharisee requested him to dine with him. So he went in and reclined at the table. However, the Pharisee was surprised at seeing that he did not first wash before the dinner. But the Lord said to him, Now you Pharisees, you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but the inside of you is full of plunder and wickedness. Unreasonable persons, he that made the outside made also the inside, did he not? Nevertheless, give as gifts of mercy the things that are inside. And look, all other things are clean about you. But woe to you, Pharisees, because you give the tenth of the mint and the rue and of every other vegetable, but you pass by the justice and the love of God. These things you were under obligation to do, but those other things not to omit. Woe to you, Pharisees, because you love the front seats in the synagogues and the greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you, because you are as those memorial tombs which are not in evidence, so that men walk upon them and do not know it. In answer, a certain one of those versed in the law said to him, Teacher, in saying these things you also insult us. Then he said, Woe also to you who are versed in the law, because you load men with loads hard to be borne, but you yourselves do not touch the loads with one of your fingers. Woe to you, because you build the memorial tombs of the prophets, but your forefathers killed them. Certainly you are witnesses of the deeds of your forefathers, and yet you give consent to them, because these killed the prophets, but you are building their tombs. On this account the wisdom of God also said, I will send forth to them prophets and apostles, and they will kill and persecute some of them, so that the blood of all the prophets spilled from the founding of the world may be required from this generation, from the blood of Abel down to the blood of Zechariah, who was slain between the altar and the house. Yes, I tell you, it will be required from this generation. Woe to you who are versed in the law, because you took away the key of knowledge. You yourselves did not go in, and those going in you hindered. So when he went out from there, the scribes and the Pharisees started in to press upon him terribly and to ply him with questions about further things, lying in wait for him to catch something out of his mouth. That was Luke chapter 11, and that concludes our study for today. Little children. And what a wonderful study it was. Now, I have bad news with regard to Rolly. Rolly apparently needs to be wound every 4 hours. Stopped again last night. And stopped several times before that, even during the daytime. And I decided to wind Rolly as much as I could. And then when I went to bed, when I got up, about 6 hours later, was it 6 hours? Yeah. And a little less than 6 hours, maybe. But this Rolly had been stopped for actually, Rolly had been stopped at that time for 3 hours. That means Rolly only ran for 3 hours. So Rolly is a PD, that is, PD 1752, Pagani Design. Rolly is unfortunately no longer functional. And so I'll have to do something about that. So I have substituted today Crow, the next in sequence, and we have Cammy. So that's all for today. Thank you for listening. I hope you did enjoy that, as I did. And I love you very much. All of you. Have a wonderful day. Praise Jehovah. What a wonderful, wonderful exemplar we have in Christ Jesus. And for Ward Green, myself, it's Crow and Cammy saying bye for now.